Right now, it's time to bring in Jim Lynch. It's time for Cover Your Assets. Jim is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy. He brings over 40 years of experience to those subjects and more. So let's welcome him in again this morning. Good morning, Jim.
And good morning to you, sir. Let the revolution begin. I was waiting for you to get your place in line. I want you a good spot. I don't want any damage to that cranium. Anyhow, hi, everybody. It's a little warm. It's nice. Most importantly, I got up this morning and I said, wow, you should remind the audience we're still breathing. We're still moving ahead.
That's right. I always say, every morning I get up, yep, I'm on the right side of the dirt this morning.
Well, that's because you have the bears and the animals to handle it. I mean, you're kind of in paradise already.
Well, it is a kind of paradise. Yes. I love my little paradise that I've been in now for about 12 years, something like that. It's been
a while.
It's nice. It fits me like a glove. It's nice. Yeah.
It's got some miles, and it's also wrapped. What's the word I'm looking for? It's wrapped like a Cristo. It's
impenetrable from the outside by anything except for
any insects.
What I want to come into it, Jim. And you know the greatest thing? I can sit around there in my shorts, in my undies. I can do whatever I want. It's just my little relaxation zone.
Yeah.
Your skivvies.
I can see that in following you on the Facebook on those pictures. You know, I tell you the truth. It's really things like that nowadays, these pictures of people doing whatever they're doing, it's really so uplifting because it gives you a feeling, hey, this is life, you know. All this other stuff, it's terrible. But
you have to understand, Jim, I really do, and Jill will tell you this. When I get off the air and I go home, I totally lock out the outside. I totally lock out what's going on in politics with COVID-19. I lock out everything for a good 4 hours. I have to. Otherwise, I'd go crazy. And that's the great thing about having an environment like that where you can do that, where you can get away from it and you can gather your own thoughts and your own sensibilities of everything.
And rebalance.
And not be yelled at by everybody.
Constantly.
And then you bring yourself together and you come back out of it and you do another day.
Yep. And you've got your... You've refilled or you've replenished as best you can.
Yeah, that's really great. I think we should all
try,
myself included, take your example and somehow work out those processes that will help us. We all don't enjoy what you have, landscape wise, but there are all kinds of ways to do this thing. Mentally as well as physically.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if you don't, it'll drag you down. It will.
Amen. I've been there in my years in Wall Street when it's hitting the fan, so to speak. When you're in that position, kind of, there's really not much way to go. You gotta put your head down and get through it. Eventually, you can relax. But enough about the last war. let's talk Portland, folks, and then we're going to get into Connecticut and the virus. But I'd like to talk Portland, Oregon, because I've been following it not as closely as there's so many other things to follow. But it turns out that I do have a contact on the ground there who has given me some a very personal update on exactly what's going on. And what's really going on that I think is very important for me to share. And I'm not saying this isn't out there elsewhere, okay? This is not special news or anything else. But it's something that I've come across, Rob, which I think is very, very significant. This whole situation in Portland, Oregon, whoever they are, the secret police, the Gestapo, whatever, this situation is contained to about a 4-block area in Portland. Now, before we go to the next step, I want to tell you, I've looked it up, Portland proper, the city of Portland, is 8 miles long and 1 mile wide. Its population is 6.8 black, 8.1 Asian, about 0.7 indigenous peoples. And the balance, which I think, if my math is right, around 80% or so, is white people. The thing of it is, the area contains 653,000 people. That's a fair amount of people. And if you take in the greater Portland area, the number is 2,000,004. And finally, if we're looking at acreage, it's 51,000 acres in Portland. Now, I basically underscore this to tell you that all of this protesting and unfortunate violence, which is certainly illegal, is going on in about a four-block radius. The way it works is this. The protesters come, a lot of them white people, to basically protest for the rights, their rights, against a lot of things, including the government. They are generally peaceful. They are not armed. They are not doing a war dance. They might be chanting. They might be singing. They might be walking. They might be laughing. After they're there a few hours, the Trump secret police comes in, and even though the secret police are unprovoked by the crowd, they decide it's time, they've had enough, and they start shooting these, they're not rubber bullets. They if you look at the woman's head on the TV, it almost got taken off by one of these things. But they come in and they start grabbing people, and basically they start making a violent scene out of a peaceful protest. Now, this is very important because, one, you should understand it's only happening in a very small area, and two, it's only happening because the current president of the United States is just all over himself trying to figure out how to get reelected, and he's tripling down on his base, whatever his base is, which seems to have a liking for violence and I'm the boss and you are nothing. My own opinion is going to backfire dramatically because Trump is turning these things now, the way he's doing it, into rallies against himself because he's basically pitting himself against the people. And you can only do that so long in any given confined area where people's attitudes basically go the other way and say, hey, wait a second, this guy's doing this here. And who is he to do this? We're not doing anything. We're the citizens. It was so great to hear Trump say, oh, I don't want to deny people their liberty of not wearing a mask. Well, why is he denying people their liberty of peacefully being on the street in a major city where there is a major police force, where there is a National Guard, where there is no chaos that is disrupting the life of the city? So that was my little input on Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, it's a good input because I think people have to realize when they look at TV and they see these reports over and over about Portland, and it's over and over and over, you tend to think that it's going on throughout the whole city. Here's what also people don't understand. The President of the United States, if he wants to, can order federal troops in to protect federal property. But what he has done is he's ordered troops in that are from the Border Guard, and they're totally not trained for the situation. So what happens is when you're in there guarding, let's say the U.S. courthouse, which is what in theory they're meant to be guarding, you can use your powers to defend that courthouse. You cannot use your powers to chase people down, put them in vans and arrest them that are not actually at the courthouse. That's not what the power appears. And that's why most people that get put in these vans, the first person that was put in a van said, I want to call my lawyer. I want to call somebody. That's my right. Well, what did they do with him? They let him go. They let him go. After a couple of hours, they let him go because they had no right to hold him and they had no right to charge him. But the whole thing that that Donald Trump fails to see and that members of his administration fail to see is that in protecting federal buildings, you can't bring in police, you can't bring in a police force that cannot be identified. That only really takes a situation up 10 notches. The one thing about police departments is you can see the police officer's name on the badge. There, you know exactly who they are and what they represent. When you have people come in when they just have police patches and they have camouflage units on, that incites people even more. And that's what's happened there. That's exactly what's happened there. It's too bad because it sets this country back.
It sets the country back, and it sets it up eventually for some people who do show up for protest and who've been beaten with a stick or whatever. Somehow they become violent, and some of these people, and based on their body type, the secret police, they look pretty young. And somebody turns around and has an AK-47 and kills 15 or 20 of them. And that will be on Trump's hands. The blood will be on his hands. In fact, any blood that is created with his overseeing and his orders is on his hands. I mean, he's not satisfied with lollygagging for 2 months before beginning to take some action on the pandemic. And now we have 147,000 dead Americans and countless cases of the virus, many of which could have been prevented. And I point you to a chart, it's on the internet somewhere, of the United States, where we stand versus the European nations. And you'll find the European nations at the bottom of the chart, and you'll find the U.S. at the top of the chart. We have never controlled the situation because we never had a national plan. And why did China win and Germany win and Japan and South Korea win? They had a national plan, and they said, okay, here's what we are all, ALL, going to do. They didn't say, and China is a huge country, China didn't say, well, we're dividing you up into six regions, and each guy is on his own, and you figure it out, you plan it, and so forth. It would have been a disaster. Well, the U.S. Is the example of disaster. Until somebody comes forward with a national strategy that can be heard and listened to, the pandemic in this country is going to get worse. A pandemic, as described very early in this thing, back already in February, March, was the law of numbers, where if you get two, then you'll have four. If you have four, then you'll have 16. And that's what's happened to us. If you look at the way the pandemic has grown, the administration, the Trump administration, has been grossly malfeasant in its lack of authority over its citizens to protect its citizens. No citizen has the right to inflict harm, discomfort, unhappiness on another citizen. And I point to you in your local areas, isn't there a law against smoking in public? Isn't there a law against urinating in public? On and on it goes. It's called a civil society. Now, the people who continue to go with what the president has been putting on the airwaves for months, now they bought the Kool-Aid, and they don't want to do masks because I don't know what they think. They've surrendered their brain power. But they surrendered it. They don't want a mask. Fine. Go in the corner and stay there without a mask. Leave the rest of us alone.
Here's what the big problem is, Jim. You have a bunch of black Americans and white Americans who support the black Americans who protest around a national building, and they get violently moved. You have President Trump who violently moves protesters from the street in front of the White House. And it was a Black Lives Matter protest. Just take yourself time back to the Bundys when they took over that federal ranch, and they took it over. And they finally, they were all let off. Nobody got charged on that. They got charged, but nobody was convicted. Take the time where that farmer was illegally keeping his cattle on U.S. territory. And there were actually people on overpasses with guns aimed at the federal marshals. The federal marshals backed down. Take a look at the Indians when the pipeline were going under their property. What happened to them? How they were beaten, thrown around by... There is a huge disparity with this administration between what minorities, if you have a colored skin, whether it's red, whether it's brown, whether it's black, whether it's yellow, and then what happens when it's white people. I mean, you can't pick and choose how you as a government are going to treat your population. You have to treat everybody the same, and that's not happening.
It's not happening, and to use color code, this administration has the green at the top of its priority. The green being those people who've got the money and the influence to help Donald Trump and his entourage out personally. And more this is revealed. People don't really seem to hop on the bandwagon, at least his base, so to speak. The man is out golfing twice during the weekend and talks about it while the virus is raging, for instance, particularly in the state of Florida, where he conned this stupid guy, DeSantis, who I guess is a governor, to basically open up. And even after he opened up and it got worse, he still couldn't get his hands on it. He's very much a Trump accolade, and he behaves very much like Trump. He's like a deer caught in the headlights or caught in sand. He can't move. He can't plan. He can't make a decision. And that is Trump. This is why this convention thing, the Republican convention, got so out of hand, because the people who were trying to plan it, Trump could never sign off on anything. It's the same as the situation now where we're trying to get money out to the populace here in the U.S., to help them pay their rent and not starve and get back to the workforce. He can't do anything. Whoever heard of a major, 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 major piece of legislation? The main contestants for it are four senior people in the government. Where is he? He was on the golf course. What's his input? He says, oh, show it to me. If I like it, I'll sign it. If I don't like it, I won't sign it. No thought. No empathy for people who are suffering, and frankly, no regard for the well-being of the entire country.
Well, Jim, you're right, because the first time that stimulus money was released, it was done very poorly. Very, very, very wealthy people, very, very big companies, up to 500, broke in on that stimulus package and took most of the money in the first round, leaving a lot of people left. Also, who in their right mind in the government actually thought paying people $800 a week more than they'd ever make was going to send people back to work? It just was not a well-thought-out plan. And I know it's pandemic, but still, when you're going to do a stimulus package, you look at the stimulus package that was put together to save the auto companies. Well, that's been paid off, and that stimulus package actually worked to our advantage. But a stimulus package where people were paid $800 a week to stay home, the federal government, had they taken advantage of their power in the beginning, should have never shut down this country, should have just made sure that testing was available, that social distancing was done, and that masks were worn everywhere. And then after 2 months, see where you stand. Because once again, we look right now at Connecticut, and we look at New York, and we look at Massachusetts and New Jersey, and we look at the fact that we have actually slowed the virus to a crawl. We haven't stopped it, because you can't stop it. We've slowed it to a crawl. And you know what? The rest of the country hadn't learned from this, because there is no federal leadership on this program. And you can't keep shutting down the country as a whole. That's not the answer. You can't keep sending out $800 to people not to work as a whole. We have 50 different states doing 50 different things. The government offering up its own monetary morass, which helps really the big companies. And that's why we're in the mess we're in. It's there is there is not one central point of how to fight this.
I would underscore that there's not only one central point, but the President of the United States, even the other day, but for months and months and months, television appearance, Twitter appearances, whatever, has been downplaying the seriousness of this pandemic, this virus, has been downplaying and negating the rules put forth when they had some courage by the CDC and other scientists. Wear the mask, social distancing, wash your hands. How much trouble is that? Are we a nation of dirty hands? Do we not periodically put a scarf on? Do we not, when in a crowd, kind of step out of it because we're a little uncomfortable generally in crowds? What's asked here is nothing other than common sense for the individual who is being asked it to preserve their health. But more importantly, looking at the divisiveness of this country, people need to respect other people. And when you don't wear your mask, you're disrespecting another person. Yet we see now so many times where people who are wearing masks are assaulted by those without them. It is incredible. They have bought the Kool-Aid of Trump. He's saying, if you're going to be a loyal American, don't wear a mask. And he's inculcated the consciousness of people with that BS.
Well,
this morning, a Delta flight had to turn around. It was somewhere over Atlanta because the people would not put masks on. I mean, I don't even know how to say the significance of that.
Well, we have to.
This is now. Yeah, this is not a month ago. Yeah. Not 3 months ago. This is now.
All right.
People on an airplane, which is already a spot where germs and everything else are prevalent. In this pandemic, they will not put a mask on. A plane will have to go back and land. So, folks, please use your common sense. Listen to your body and listen to your friends, listen to those who care about, not the government, other than certain people like your own governor up there, Murphy of Jersey, Cuomo of New York, the people in Mass and Delaware. We do have outstanding governors who stepped up. They've made some mistakes on the way, but they self-corrected. Listen to them. But look what happened here in New York.
We're out of time.
Got out of control.
Yeah, we're out of time.
We got on it. We started doing it. Bomb, bomb, bomb. And then what did we do here in the last several weeks? We've started quarantining people coming from other states, such as Florida. Why? Because Cuomo and your guy and Murphy, they want to protect their citizens. They've been put in a box by Trump.
Okay,
they've
Jim.
They've made their own government to do everything.
Hey, Jim.
Many of which should be done by the federal government.
We are totally
out. Take care of yourself and forget the baloney coming out of Washington.
All right. We are totally out of time, Jim. Totally.
We are. Well, why did you say I'm sorry?
We're totally out of time.
Thank you very much. We will talk to you next week.
I'll have my baloney on a hero, a little lettuce and tomato and mayo. Let me have mustard.
All right. Take care, Jim.
Good to talk to you. Let's stay well, huh?
All right,
stay
you well. Too. Bye-bye.
See you. Bye-bye.
Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets this morning here on Robin Hood Radio.